Welcome, everyone, to Shots Fired with Deanna Lorraine. I'm your host, Deanna Lorraine. Going over all the latest breaking news, trending topics, and truth bombs that you can't get anywhere else. Go ahead and follow me on social media, especially Gab, Telegram, Truth Social, and Getter at Real Deanna Lorraine, and on X for all the latest and controversial posts, Deanna for Congress. My show is twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern time after the Stu Peters show. And it is Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern now after a long and crazy wild week. So grab that cocktail, mocktail, glass of water, glass of wine, whatever you do to unwind, and hang out with me for the next hour as we go over the top news of the day. And now, without further ado, let's get into the top news of the day. Well, last week at the highly anticipated debate between Trump and Kamala, it was not Trump's best performance. But one thing that he did say in a pretty shocking moment that was very interesting is he talked about the Haitian immigrants in Ohio that were eating pets. They were eating cats and eating dogs. And we've been hearing rumors lately and news coverage circulating about these Haitian immigrants flooding into Ohio and barbecuing cats and dogs and stealing pets, apparently. And he said this on stage on national TV in that shocking moment. Let's check that out if you missed it.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country. And it's a shame.
And it's actually led to some of the, gotta admit, some of the funniest memes of the week. A lot of people have made remixes and songs out of what Trump said. Check some of these out if you miss them. We'll definitely give you a laugh and brighten up your day.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
People of Springfield, please don't eat my cats. Why would you do that? Eat something else. People of Springfield, please don't eat my dog. Here's a catalog of other things to eat.
They're eating the dogs.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
They're eating the cats.
Meow, 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 meow.
They're eating the pets of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
They're eating the cats.
Meow, 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 meow.
They're eating the pets of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
They're eating the cats.
Meow, 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 meow.
They're eating the pets of the people that live there. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country.
Oh, I love that one. That's great. Now, interestingly, though, they're barbaric. These barbaric Haitians, the rumors seem to be kind of true. So we have been getting videos now circulating of people from Ohio verifying this eating of cats and dogs and stealing of pets, including Springfield city manager who spoke out and actually confirmed this in a video this week saying, hey, there have been a lot of reports about missing cats and Haitians doing barbaric things to pets, dogs and cats at parks and in their homes, etc. So check this out if you missed this video.
Laws and you know, culture is 180 degrees different than what they're used to. And one of the things that hurt that I heard that bothered me very much, I've actually had quite a few people contact me here lately, is some pretty horrid things occurring to domesticated animals in the neighborhood. We've had some stuff in the park again, they're being taken advantage of for reasons other than, and if you shake your head, Brian.
I asked me if there was proof.
I just don't have proof of it. People that have confided in me have asked me for anonymity. I can't give their names up.
I mean, we haven't seen the proof that you're talking about. And I've heard about it too.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. So remember, most of the things that Trump says are pretty wild, but they often end up being true. We're going to obviously keep an eye on this story. Now, another crazy event that happened this week is apparently another attempt on President Trump's life or his supporters. This just in, and it's pretty wild story. So right at his presidential rally in Arizona, about 20 patriots who attempted his high energy rally are now having to go to the ER. They reported having to go to the ER immediately after the rally. They all suffering from symptoms like blurry vision and swelling, serious concerning reactions that all came on shortly after the rally ended. And all of the affected patriots were seated right by the stage where Trump made his entrance. Now, here's where it gets even more concerning. One attendee reports that a doctor told her that she suffered from a chemical burn. This is pretty nuts. We've got to ask this question. Was this a chemical attack deliberately on Trump and or on his supporters? Is this now going to be a thing at Trump rallies, that they're going to unleash these chemical attacks at his rallies? To me, it seems like not only a way to get to President Trump and potentially harm and kill him yet again, but also to scare Trump supporters from going to his huge rallies, because who wants to sit next to Trump again if you're going to get shot or gassed or inflicted with a chemical attack, right? And potentially a very pathetic and weak attempt to decrease the size of his massive rallies and his crowd size to make Kamala's look bigger. So we'll see what happens here. That's pretty frightening. I think I'd be a little bit dissuaded from going to one of his rallies now if I could be killed, but I don't know. Pretty nuts. And lastly, this just in, a former New York City COVID czar, one of the original COVID czars and Nazi, who was actually the person in charge for designing the COVID lockdown and mask protocol and social distancing protocol in New York. He was just caught in an undercover sting operation. And guess what he admitted? He admitted to holding huge secret drug-fueled sex parties with friends during the global pandemic, during the most critical time that we were all shut down. So this was Dr. Jay Varma, former senior advisor for public health, New York City's mayor's basically right-hand man, who is the one who designed all these COVID protocols. And he admits that during the height of the lockdown, when everyone was locking down and masking up and living in fear and social distancing, not seeing their friends or family, not being able to go home for holidays, he was having drug-fueled, ecstasy-filled sex parties. That's so disgusting and so vile. And he was just bragging about how he loves ecstasy and how he loves rolling. And it's so much fun to have your friends get together when we haven't seen each other forever and do sex parties. Yeah, it would have been fun for us to get together too with our families for Thanksgiving and Christmas and church too. Asshole. Check this out if you missed this clip.
I actually was the one who convinced the mayor to make it a mandate.
Like, New York City found out that you're having sex parties during COVID?
Yeah. It would have been a big deal. Yeah, it would have been real bad. We went to some, like, underground, like, dance party, like, underneath a bank in Wall Street. And we were all rolling, we were all taking Molly, and everybody's high. And I was so happy, because I hadn't done that in, like, a year and a half, like, a year or whatever. And but I was looking around being like, because this was not COVID-friendly. The only way I could do this job for the city was if I had some way to blow off steam every now and then. You know, kind of sneaky about it because hotels didn't want people gathering there. Because I was like running the entire COVID response to the city. My wife and I like had one with our friends, like in August of like that first summer. So we rented a hotel and it was fun. We all like took like, you know, Molly and it was like eight or nine of us and ten of us and we're in a room and everybody had a blast because everybody was like so pent up. Because like everybody was just like stuck together and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it isn't so much about like industry executives. Sometimes it's just something about like bodies being close to each other, right? Just being like naked with friends.
Was that like when everyone was like walking out?
But it was like the summer of 2020. So like walk around the streets and you could be outdoors.
Did you have like any meetings?
There wasn't any restrictions on gathering. Like you could actually gather people. The hotels didn't want us to have parties, but they weren't gonna like.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's like because I did all this like deviant like sexual stuff while I was like, you know, like on TV and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And people are like, aren't you afraid? Aren't you embarrassed? And I was like, no, actually, I'm like really like I love being my authentic self.
So the way we do it in public health is we make it very uncomfortable to be unvaccinated. I don't expect your education to change your behavior. I'm just gonna make it really hard for you to do your job. You can't get a job. You can't go to a restaurant. You can't go to school. It's like, I'm just gonna get vaccinated.
So was it technically like kind of forcing you?
Yeah, that's what you force people by making it really uncomfortable.
Unbelievable. But they expose themselves more and more every day for who they really are. All right, we'll be right back with our first guest right after these messages. Don't go anywhere. Hey, guys. Do you often feel like you've got low energy and you just really want to give your energy a boost that's sustainable all day long? Well, this awesome new product I've been taking, Energy Renew, gives you that kick you need to keep going all day long with no more midday slumps. Plus, it helps you stay on track with your weight loss goals and burn fat way more effectively. Say goodbye to brain fog. Energy Renew keeps your mind sharp and focused so that you can tackle whatever the day throws at you. And who doesn't like that youthful, beautiful glow? Energy Renew not only boosts your energy, but also helps your skin look and feel amazing. Packed with powerful nutrients like tributrin and sun fiber, it is the ultimate energy booster. Go to DeannaEnergy.com to learn more about this amazing product and get yours today. Go to DeannaEnergy.com, that's D-E-A-N-N-A, Energy.com right now to see how this product changes your life. Hey guys, well, I'm here with my favorite doctor, Dr. Mark Sherwood here today. And guess what I just got? It is a giant box of a Kingdom Crunch cereal, his new line of cereal called Kingdom Crunch. And this particular flavor is acai bowl. And let me tell you, it is so, 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 so tasty and delicious. But besides from it being so tasty, I have Dr. Sherwood here to tell us why it's so good for you too and why it's so amazing and should be in everyone's cupboard. So what's up with this incredible cereal that you sent me that I can't stop eating, Dr. Sherwood?
Well, many times when we hear the word cereal, we think unhealthy, poisonous, chemical, carcinogenic.
Shouldn't be eating it.
That is quite the opposite. High protein, zero added sugars, organic ingredients, and healthy fats such as medium-chain triglycerides. Deanna, that should be in everyone's cupboard, in every child's mouth, every day. That is truly healthy and life-giving for kids. I recommend it all the way. Not because I made it, but because it solves a real problem in today's world.
Excuse me, I can't stop eating it, but I gave it to my son Maverick, who also loves cereal, but I don't want him to eat cereal except for this. This is really, really good. It's really tasty. It actually tastes like real acai in your mouth. And it's packed full of all these nutrients and no sugar, right? No added sugar.
Right.
That's insane. How is it so sweet then?
Yeah, we use stevia, monk fruit, and some allulose there.
Wow.
All of which, get this, are diabetic friendly. They won't raise blood sugar, which is another benefit. I've had people ask me, can I eat that if I'm diabetic? Yes, you can. And you can fix your diabetes.
Yay. Awesome. Well, this is so good. Where can everybody find this Kingdom Crunch cereal?
They can find it at Sherwood.tv/shots and use your discount code to save.
Promo code shots.
Promo code shots, and they can save some money out there and support your program.
Absolutely.
Which I appreciate.
All right, go to Sherwood.tv, promo code shots, and pick up this delicious Kingdom Crunch cereal today. Welcome back to Shots Fired. Well, we were kind of making some jokes earlier about the Haitians eating the pets, eating the dogs, eating the cats, having a few laughs about the memes that have been circulating around. But really, it's not funny what's happening at the borders, what's happening with these cities and states that are just having thousands of illegal aliens flooding through, and they don't have our values. They don't respect our culture. We don't know who they are. Many of them are criminals or military-aged men or pregnant women. And this is a frightening situation. Obviously, this is not some sort of sane legal immigration. This is truly an invasion. And they are here to destroy our country and the fabric of our culture. And we know at this point that there are over 300,000 missing children. And we don't know where all the rest of the children, that's all of who we know of that's on record. There's so many more missing children, but nobody's really talking about that. Nobody's talking about the abused and raped women and children that are crossing our borders every day. So there's truly a scary and frightening invasion at our borders today. And who better to talk about it than a border agent himself? Zachary Apotheker is here joining us today. And he's a border agent that's been truly on the ground, witnessing all of this firsthand, this frightening things. And he's over at the northern border, one of the busiest borders. And he's here to share some shocking stories of what he has seen firsthand. Zachary Apotheker, thanks so much for blowing the whistle on here, risking it all and sharing your stories. Welcome to Shots Fired. How are you?
Thank you so much. And I want to say, coming from me and my family, you are actually a patriot speaking about this and having me on. When you talk about risking it all, I'm truly risking it all, not for myself, for this country and for the victims that have, you know, had crimes perpetrated against them, about people that we've brought in. As you were saying, we're paying indirectly through the NGOs for these people to come in. And you spoke on, you know, the criminals. I can't say, I'm still employed by the agency, so I try to stick away from opinions, because I don't even need to give you my opinion or conclusions, because the truth is actually stranger than anything I could concoct in my head.
Okay.
I don't even have to tell you. I mean, it's just so insane. So for me to sit here and say that they have the intentions of criminals, I don't know, but I can tell you what is happening is overwhelmingly these people are committing crime. Okay. 75% of arrests in Midtown Manhattan, 60%. These aren't my numbers and statistics. These are things that I've seen through the media.
Yeah.
Through Patriots, 60% of arrests in Queens. They're committing. There's no thankfulness. They're claiming asylum, but then you come here to commit crimes? I mean, I'm a different case. My parents were born in the 50s. Both my brothers died of drug overdoses. I grew up in Stoughton, Massachusetts. It's crazy. I'm a crazy guy. I'll tell you this. I'll never leave this country. My heels are planted. No matter what happens on this earth, I'm staying in America, baby. USA. That's how I was born here. I'm dying here. Yeah. Other people want to leave, that's on you. I'm not here to throw rocks. I have a glass house with big windows. But if I were ever to go to another country, I would go commit a crime claiming asylum. You know, I need you to take care of me so bad. And then I come here and, you know, I can, you know, these names. And I sometimes use a little humor. I don't want to conflate that these names. These are women that have been raped and killed that we've encountered. I mean, I can talk about Lincoln Riley. I can talk about Rachel Warren. I can talk about the 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungaray. I can talk about all these women, and I don't want to leave out names, and it pains me to say the names to you, because I don't want to leave them out, because there's so many.
Yeah.
And I have seen it. And what people aren't talking about, they're not a lot. Like, when I was down on the southern border in Arizona, we're taking thousands of people a day. We're just transporting. We're not talking about doing our actual job. These are people that are coming here with neck pillows, relaxed. Look, they have neck pillows on. You know, I try not to be too prideful of a man, but I raise my hand to either die on the border or save somebody. I was prepared for all. I was prepared, and I don't want to be too hyperbolic, but any law enforcement job, if you know I'm going into it saying there's a chance that I'll take a bullet for my partner or for the public, then you're not going in correctly, right? But I never signed my hand to go assist people with neck pillows on.
What?
That's sickening. That's horrible. And then I'm getting flack for speaking out. No, that's not ever going to happen, because before I'm a patriot, I'm actually a child of God and of Jesus Christ. And if people don't like that, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Because if you don't have that moral compass, and there are atheists that have great moral compass, I'm not saying nothing against them, but for me personally, I can only tell you my story. And I just want to say this. We were bringing in people, they didn't not only did they not read or write, that was like the baseline a lot of the times. They would just sign their name with a circle.
Yeah.
And it's not like anybody cared. Just get them in. We didn't even have – we provided medical care a lot of stuff. So I'm at the hospital. I'll tell you a quick story that just came to mind talking to you. I'm at the hospital. This guy from Mauritania. We didn't – and this is not uncommon. We didn't have a we have a translator service with maybe 100 different, you know, languages. There was no translator service for this guy. He had never even, his dialect is so local in Mauritania. He could only say salam alaikum or whatever the Muslim, but he didn't speak Arabic. He spoke his own tribal dialect. And what, so he's supposed to come here and get a job. We don't even have a way to translate what he was saying. We had to call his uncle back in Africa to have him tell the nurse what was wrong with his tummy that you're paying for, that I'm paying for. Wow. Let me tell you something. I just want to say this story, and I'm gonna try to be short and curt with you. Please cut me off if I'm rambling, but it's so deep in my heart. It bothers me so deeply that when someone has a platform like yours and I get a chance to explain things, I got to say it. Also, other whistleblowers, sometimes whistleblowers don't live long, so I got to say what I got to say. I got to tell you now.
Yeah.
Because I love my family, and I'm a very cautious person. I would, you know, it's against my religion to ever do anything. So just keep that in mind. But, like, there was a kid, you know, I'm from the Mass area, Boston. There's a boxing gym. One of my best friends owns South Shore Boxing. Boxing gym. It's just an area. And there's this kid, Carlos, whose father came from Portugal. And, you know, the legal way, worked for pennies, saved up every dime he had to come here in 78. Then Carlos was born. Carlos was 18 around the time the global war on terror kicked off. Carlos goes over to the war. Very kinetic area. He saw a lot of things that were horrible. But he fast-tracked himself to like an E4 as a young kid. And he comes back. The military didn't have the kit to help him with his PTSD because he had seen so much stuff. At this time, they didn't have the money, whatever it was. I don't know. He said they couldn't care for me. So he started acting out. He gets demoted to an E1 after going to war, gets an other than honorable discharge. And the kid's now to his care, he goes to the boxing gym to get his mind right. But meanwhile, these people are getting money paid for. And this kid was 18, the son of a legal immigrant, did it the right way, raised his hand. We forget about people like that, but these people are getting paid for? And I'm sorry if I get emotional and angry, I'm Italian, but like, realistically, what are we talking about now? Like, seriously.
How many years have you been a Border Patrol agent? And what areas have you been working?
So I got in May 11th, 2020. That was a different administration. I'm not here to give you my politics. Maybe once they fire me, I'll have my own show like you and give politics. I'm just here to give the straight facts. But I came in May 11th, 2020. And what I can say is I raised my hand at that time. There was Chief Rodney Scott. I don't have any personal affliction to this man. I wouldn't consider us friends or anything. But under his policies, we were removing people. Mm-hmm. That's why I signed
doing
up
your
to remove
job.
People. Doing our job. Mm-hmm. And I come in. And we were still doing the job early 20. I got out of the academy. So I went to the academy during COVID. So there was a whole other situation. We were basically forced to take a COVID vaccine. We weren't allowed to even leave the base for 8 months. So it was like a federal prison. So that was my first taste is like, you're not even allowed to leave your room. You're getting food delivered to you. But the instructors can come and go. But I'm locked in a room for 8 months off and on. Okay.
Ominous sign.
And then saying, if you want to leave. And they were like, listen, I'm ashamed, but I'm also ashamed. They're like, if you want to leave the base, you can only get a COVID shot. So after 8 months of being locked up, I'm not some like grandiose thinker, right? I'm not like, you know, I don't know nothing from nothing. I'm not a Harvard grad. I go, whatever you're going to shoot me up with, let's get a gun so I can get off this base because I'm losing my mind here, right? Wow. So I take the COVID shot, go out to the field June of 2021. We were still doing the job, but we sat here in rumblings of over here, they're setting up these tents and people are coming in. And you've seen it around the country, but we're still catching it. Then the details came out, which is a whole nother aspect, that they're taking guys away from their families, making you, if you want to keep your job, go to, let's say, Yuma or go to Eagle Pass, away from your family, and providing assistance to start shuttling these people in. Mm. And guys were losing their marriages. They were developing drinking problems. That's when a lot of the suicides started. Some guys were going every month on and off.
Wow.
For a year. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's when I started. Yeah.
So what have you seen? What kind of things have you seen personally? Have you witnessed any instances of women or children that you believe that were being raped at the border or used for trafficking or being abused or any of the kind of things that we hear rumors about? Have you seen any of that?
Oh, it's 100% happening. It's 100% happening. I wouldn't be speaking out if I didn't really truly believe in my heart and I hadn't seen instances. I mean, I can tell you some things where I had conclusions a woman admitted to it, but some of the most egregious stuff, and I've said this story before, but I want to keep repeating it, was an agent, star, young, unaccompanied girl, He was in a car being trafficked, you know, illegal aliens coming into the country. These people we hadn't even encountered. So obviously when they show up to the border and try to claim asylum, which you're supposed to do at a port of entry, they weren't doing that. We were still bringing them in, giving them court dates in the future. It's called an NTAOR. I recommend your listeners, you know, look into what an NTAOR is. For the purposes of time, I'm just not going to explain it. But so these people weren't like that. They were driving a vehicle. They didn't want us to encounter them, okay? And that's the problem. Where they were trying to evade encountering. They were trying to evade detection. So they were evading. But, you know, we have some great agents. You know, the agents of this, they're hardworking men and women that were being used the wrong way. But at this time, there was an agent on the side of the road. He saw a car in this area where there's smuggling is very prevalent. He saw the car was full. He pulls it over. You know, he had the probable cause, the reasonable suspicion to really, you know, look into this. And it was a car. And there was a girl there who was 15 to 16 years old from Guatemala. And there were some men. They were all in the country. They had crossed legal and they were in a vehicle. I think the driver had picked him up. He was a legal permanent resident, someone that was trying to get permanent residency. And he's going and doing this, you know, not really a great guy. We try to help him out. And he's going to the border, picking up more people illegally. So the girl tells the agent, you know, in the processing room, and this agent told me directly, she goes, you know, he knew something was wrong with her. She only spoke Spanish. He had a fluent, because we all need to speak Spanish. He had a fluent Spanish speaker because he knew something was wrong. He said, I want you to speak to this girl. Something's off. There's a list of questions we ask every unaccompanied minor child. And throughout the questioning, she admitted that, you know, these guys are raping me. They're selling me up in Oregon to like this guy that knows my family back in Guatemala. This is what he does. This is his business. Okay. So not super out of the ordinary, but like obviously really bad. And you're looking at the drivers and you know, you have to use some restraint here. We can't be barbarians as much as we are sickened that they're taking this 15-year-old girl and doing this business. So like, you know, the agent goes through the steps, reports it, all these things need to be done. And within an hour, the head of an office of Homeland Security Investigation showed up to our station, Border Patrol. Super rare, you know, for this guy to show up because he's the top level, right? There's like many agents in that office. He shows up with a couple agents, based request, and they kind of supersede us a little bit because they're, you know, HSI, they have 1811 power. So anyways, they take the girl in the room and they start questioning her themselves once they hear about this. After 2 hours, they come out of the room and the head of this office tells this agent, who's just a lowly agent like myself, ask her questions again. What actually happened was it got lost in translation. She wasn't raped. You just didn't understand. He goes, this guy's a smart guy. He's like, what are you talking about? I made sure of this. I had this guy who speaks fluent Spanish talk to her. I saw her before any of that happened. I could tell there was something wrong. It was a 15. Yeah. You know, when a 15-year-old girl's repeatedly raped, she's not going to look. It's going to be an anomaly. She's not going to look like a 15-year-old girl you see at the grocery store. So he's like, that's wrong. But I'll ask the question again. She had changed her answers. And they made that man give all of these people notice to appear in court, and they sent her back with those traffickers, and she went up to Oregon.
Wow.
What was he supposed to do? You know, I mean, what was he supposed to do? Well, he did the right thing. He reported it to the internal investigations. It became a big thing. You know, internal investigations gets involved, and they protected what was done and said, no, actually, we had a confidential informant in that car that we didn't want to reveal his identity, so that's why we gave out those court dates and put that girl back. It's like, so you're saying you're protecting somebody's identity from basically snitching to us because you don't want to let them know. Like there is no circumstance you give that girl back. There is no circumstance you give that girl back to the traffickers and then pay for them to get to Oregon.
It's insane.
It's wrong. And it's high level. I mean, these aren't orders coming from like my direct supervisor here. We're talking high level stuff. And I've heard this quote said before, and it's not my quote. You don't move hundreds of thousands of unaccompanied children or thousands. Let's just say thousands. I don't want to get caught up in a wrong statement. You don't move these thousands of children unaccompanied by asking questions. You're not going to be able to move all these kids if you start asking too many questions. Just basically, it's move them and don't ask questions. And I'm not okay with that. There's no amount of money that you can pay me to move children into the hands of traffickers. You can't pay me $10 million.
And there's no way that you can move that many children without help and orchestration from higher ups and
money that we're paying for.
Right.
Our tax dollars. I mean, if it wasn't so sick and disgusting, it would be funny and laughable.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around and I love my fellow PAs. A lot of them are killing themselves over this, I believe. How come no one else is speaking up? I'm calling on the PAs to speak up because I'm a patriot. I love this country. I would never talk about, listen, if we were doing our job, me and you would never meet each other. And I'd be okay with that. I would be doing my job, protecting, you know, my little piece of the land and just doing what following orders. I'm an order follower at the end of the day, up until when is it not okay to follow orders?
Right.
If I saw somebody, you know, if I'm on the border and I saw a migrant getting beat up by a patrol agent, I'd step in and say, what are you doing? You can't beat that guy up. That's against the rules. We got to play by the rules here. I didn't make them. I'm just following them.
Now,
plain and simple.
Absolutely. What other shocking things or frightening things have you witnessed or heard about firsthand that you want to share, you want to blow the whistle on, that people should know?
I mean, this is all public. The sick part is it's all public. We see it every day. The thousands of people that are coming here, getting money, committing crimes. I mean, what more do I need to see? What more does the American public really need to hear?
Sometimes personal stories help, right?
Okay,
so if you're at the border, you know, you're actually seeing these things with your own hands, with your own eyes. So are there any sort of personal stories that you personally witnessed that would just, you know, start moving Americans into action and realizing? Because right now they're kind of numb. I think a lot of Americans are numb. We hear border crisis, border crisis, border crisis every day on the news and from Trump. So we're almost numb to that. And if we hear personal stories of something specific that you've seen, that it really kind of helps wake people up again and realize this is such a crisis and we need to make this a priority.
Yeah. And it's just like what I've seen pales in comparison to what's going on, but like every day down the southern border. Okay, here's another. I'll just keep giving you stories. And if I repeat these on other platforms, I'm sorry. Another story was mom, dad, and little girl from Mexico trying to evade detection. Now, they weren't giving up to us. They're trying to evade. We're in a trunk of a car on I-10 in Phoenix. Not in Phoenix, a little bit southeast of Phoenix, just on the way to Phoenix, about 30 minutes away. Very far from the border, trying to evade in a trunk in 110 to 115 degree weather. Think about this. In a trunk. They tell you not to leave a dog. Me, my wife, and a kid in a trunk of a sedan on a highway that has a speed limit of 75. That's two lanes, no center barrier. I mean, this is like beyond dangerous. And the heat alone. And the car got pulled over because the driver was like driving the wrong way. Like he was like off. Well, it turns out this guy was drunk. Okay. So you have a drunk driver, a grown man, a grown woman, and their 9-year-old daughter. Was it even their daughter? Who really even knows? And we process those people and we let them into the country. That's child endangerment. We're rewarding this type of behavior. We're rewarding this type of behavior. That's, I mean, it's insane. It's sickening. I mean,
And they're flying people in. They're helping people to get in.
Oh, yeah, the CBP
One
app.
Helping people to commit crime.
Yeah, the CBP One app. Another story is I was mandated to go to the hospital to watch over someone because when we have people in the hospital, we have to watch them. And this man was covered in gang tattoos, MS-13 tattoos. And, you know, we're providing medical care for gang members and then releasing them straight from the hospital to go into the country. And I asked him, I said in Spanish, are you in a gang? And he just kind of bucked up towards me. I'm like, buddy, I don't care who you think I am or whatever. Are you in a gang? You're in a gang, aren't you? And he's just looking at me and I'm like, the nurse was looking, and I had this moment. I'm like, we're paying for like an MS-13 gang member to like get free healthcare and then like paying them to get into the country. I'm like, how can I look myself in the mirror every day without talking to you? I'm not like trying to get when you speak out, it's like you have to ask yourself, am I trying to get attention? Am I trying to, what am I doing this for? But like after situations like this, these stories need to be heard. You said maybe sometimes these stories need to be heard, but the one is like providing medical care for a gang member and providing him an avenue into the country for free. When, like I was telling you before, we got veterans that went to the war that can't get the correct medical care. It's everything's upside down. It's evil is right and good is wrong. So I can't make it make sense.
All right. Well, Zachary, thank you so much for joining Shots Fired and for sharing all of your incredible stories. We really appreciate it. And we'll have you back on again for an update. Please tell everybody where they can find you and follow you.
My Twitter is Zach Apotheker. Don't worry about finding me. I'll tell whatever I can. It's not about me. It's about this country. I want to thank you for being a patriot and bringing me on here. That takes guts. You know, that takes guts. And My last words are this. People are saying, people are telling me tone it down with the God stuff. If I didn't have God, I wouldn't be able to come forward. I'll never tone down the God stuff. As somebody in my family likes to say, I love God and God loves me. And, you know, be a patriot, God, country, family, stand up, get involved, get active. Guys, they want this to go unnoticed. And if you're not noticing what's going on around you, how can you notice what's in front of you? If you can't see what's going on now, what's going to happen 5-10 years down the road? You know, and as far as people saying I shouldn't be speaking out, policy does not supersede the Constitution. I took an oath to the Constitution. I'm a public servant. I don't serve anybody but the public. I love this country. I love the people in this country, the kids of this country. I grew up in the 90s playing wiffle ball, playing football, tackle football, fireworks, 4th of July, Halloween. That's what I'm trying to preserve is the family values that we have inalienable rights as Americans that they can never take from us. And if nothing comes of this and I go away, at least this is the hill that I stood in metaphorically or potentially died on. I love this country and I'm going to fight for this country. I'm going to fight for our values. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, ma'am.
All right, great. Well, follow this guy. Thank you so much. Guys, we'll be right back right after these messages. Don't go anywhere. Hey, guys. Well, you all know how much I love dogs and especially how much I love my beautiful princess, but very picky pug, Layla. And you know how much I want to just take care of her and have her living her best and most fulfilling, healthiest life. Well, I discovered Nature's Blend Essential Wellness for Dogs. This is the advanced all-natural solution for your dog's health, and she loves it. She's very picky, but somehow she loves this one. Their freeze-dried formula provides maximum nutritional content in every meal for your furry friend. And it's also so easy to prepare. You just add water and watch as your dog enjoys a nutritious feast in minutes. It's crafted by renowned veteran Dr. Marty. Nature's Blend combines premium quality raw meat with hand-selected fruits and veggies. Thousands of happy dog parents give their dogs the gift of vitality while their dogs' tails are wagging. Trying Nature's Blend, by the way, is risk-free with their 100% money-back guarantee. That's right. They have a 100% money-back guarantee. So I want you, if you love your furry friend, check these people out. It's an incredible company. Go to DeannaLovesDogs.com for more info and get your dog's tail wagging. Again, that's DeannaLovesDogs.com, D-E-A-N-N-A, LovesDogs.com, and let me know how it works out. Give your dog the gift of vitality. Why is Kingdom Fuel so much better than a lot of other supplements and, nutritional supplements out there? Because this is a really, really good shake. My favorite, by the way, is the vanilla, but I've got the vanilla and the chocolate.
Well, Kingdom Fuel is not just a protein shake. It has organic pea protein, full spectrum, full amino acid profile, 20 grams of protein, but it's also got added to it greens and reds. A lot of people buy those separately. It's got vitamins and minerals and soluble and insoluble fiber. That is a complete meal, and it's under $5 per serving. If people use 3 scoops,
yeah.
But guess what? Most people don't. They use 1 or 2. So you're talking about a full, complete meal, and the shelf life is 2 years.
Ooh.
If you don't open it. Pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if we're in any kind of apocalypse, you can pretty much eat this all day.
You can.
And the cereal and be really, really healthy. All right, cool. And guys, you can find the Kingdom Fuel line of products at Dr. Sherwood's website, of course, sherwood.tv, and use promo code SHOTS to get 30% off. Again, that's promo code SHOTS to get 30% off. I love this shake. It's amazing, great, and keeps me healthy. Welcome back to Shots Fired. Well, I just came across an article today that really shocked and terrified me. And the headline was, microplastics are now being seen in the brain and brain tissue. A new study says that scientists in Brazil found microplastics in the brain tissue of cadavers, according to a new study published on Monday in the journal The JAMA Network Open. And mounting research over the last few years have found microplastics in nearly every organ in our body. Now, I just kind of heard of this over the last couple years when it was found that microplastics are being found in human lung tissue for the first time. And so I immediately attributed that to probably all the mask wearing during COVID that perhaps brought this on, and the microplastics in masks. But now I'm seeing that microplastics are pretty much showing up in every body part, including in testicles, which is pretty scary, in our lungs, in our brain, pretty much everywhere. It says that we inhale a credit card's worth of microplastics each week. And that's frightening. So, of course, this is pretty scary, but what can we do about it? I invited our favorite doctor, Dr. Mark Sherwood, who knows about this, and he really understands pretty much everything, especially when it comes to modern threats to the human body that we did not have hundreds of years ago. So, Dr. Sherwood, it's always great to have you on for our segment. pretty frightening stuff. I want to know, you know, what exactly are these microplastics? Because we keep hearing about it in the news, but a lot of people aren't really stopping to study them. What the heck are microplastics? First of all, we'll start there.
Well, they are ubiquitous. They're used in building supplies, obviously, cooking supplies,
right,
food packaging. They're found in our clothes. They're found in some of our toiletry items.
Yeah,
they're everywhere.
Plastic
water bottles, mm-hmm. No question. Now you can see I do not have a plastic water bottle here. Yeah. The bottom line is we're inundated in a world right now where microplastics and plastics, you know, the polypropylenes, the propylenes of the world, they're everywhere. And you can't get away from them. And the bottom line is they're starting to find those, as you noted, in all parts of the body. I had read some articles recently, you know, unbeknownst to even, you know, talking about this today, that they were finding some of the microplastics and even glyphosate, which is found in Roundup, in umbilical cord blood, which is a whole nother area of concern, you know.
Umbilical cord blood.
This is crazy to think about. If microplastics are toxins and don't get broken down in the world, what are they doing in our body to just sit there? And, you know, they've been found in plaque, in cardiovascular tissue. Mm-hmm. And so this is a bad deal, and we've got to get a hold of this. And our approach has always been to be aware of it, not be aware of it, and figure out a way to get our body to get it out better and repel its penetration more.
Okay, so it comes from just everyday things that we typically consume. They're very, very tiny, microscopic, basically, and almost unavoidable. But I guess, you know, there's a lot of people that don't want to drink, for instance, out of plastic water bottles. So they're getting glass water bottles, or, you know, your beautiful water filtration system that you have, that we have a commercial for. So that's the way that, for instance, they're getting out of, you know, plastic water bottles. But as you mentioned, there's so many other examples of this just that we encounter in our everyday life. So before we kind of ask about solutions, let's say there's lots of microplastics in our brain matter. What kind of harm could that cause somebody? I mean, what kind of things are we looking at here as far as the harm goes?
There's been a ton of research lately, and this is something I've not really talked about a lot, but it's fascinating to me, is tied to the gut-brain connection. So we consume things that have substances in them that probably don't need to be in us. Let's just call it like that. Well, we get this leaky gut. You know, everybody that's listening has probably heard of that before. It's a membrane in our small intestine that's leaking and allows stuff from the inner membrane to come out into the bloodstream. Well, a leaky gut is also a leaky brain. And so a lot of these toxic chemicals, materials end up into our brain tissue. Here's the key point. The brain is mostly made of fat. Fat is something that's favored by these lipophilic, meaning they love fat, toxins. And they get stored right in the brain. So leaky guts, leaky brain. There's a ton of data that's indicative of the pollution toxin tied to the brain in Parkinson's and even Alzheimer's dementia. So wow. This is a big deal, and we need to get a hold of it today, you know, and my solution has always been to improve detox pathways. But I think another problem we don't think about is this. When you tie this and couple this information with the obesity crisis that is, people are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, which is too much adiposity or too much fat tissue. But what does that do? It creates more home for the toxins. Mm. So we become these toxic milieus in us. And, you know, I don't need to tell you, but our audience might need to know that cancer is on the heels of heart disease as the number one killer in our country. And in my opinion, it's going to cross and be number one in the next decade, directly related to what we're talking about.
That's pretty frightening. And especially knowing that it's found in, you know, men's testicles now and in the ovaries and placenta blood. I mean, that's, it just shows you how all encompassing it can be. So what can we do? I mean, how do we guard ourselves from this, or at least try to prevent the damage that it will be causing, these microplastics in our bodies? Because it's pretty creepy to even think about the fact that we have all these creepy microplastics in our body, in our blood, in our brain to begin with. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have this thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago. So now we have something new and foreign that shouldn't be in our body. What could we do to guard ourselves against it?
Well, it kind of puts things in a new context, doesn't it? When we talk about, you know, putting microchips in us to sort of measure our biomarkers and stuff. Right. Well, we're already infiltrated with stuff, you know, right now. So
much.
Yeah. The things that we can do is, number one, we must not live in fear, because fear drives the hormone cortisol. And we know that that will impair our body's systems of function. We know that. Is it normal and necessary in little bouts, windows, spurts? Yes. But to live that way is not going to help us. It impairs our immune system and our detox system. When we look at detox, there's a formula that I want people to catch. And here it is. The toxic load minus your abilities, body's ability to clear, equates to your toxic burden. And one more time, toxic load minus your ability to clear things equates to toxic burden. Okay. Our job is to reduce the toxic burden in our bodies, because we're laying out the case for toxic burden here. So we have to improve the toxic load. How do we do that? We become aware of stuff and we minimize the usage of, you know, we look around, we find green solutions to what we're doing. We move to glass bottles as opposed to plastic. We try to eliminate chemicals and things that we see that have ingredients that we can't pronounce that might have microplastics in there. Yeah. We make sure that we're avoiding that as best as possible, thereby reducing the load. We improve the clearance potential by improving hydration. You know, back to the water thing that you mentioned a moment ago, the molecular hydrogen water should be used as our mainstay because it reduces inflammation at the cellular level. It's helped our cells function better. We also need to think about losing excess adiposity or fat tissue, because that's the home. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure we take the nutrients that promote good detox function. And those would be things like N-acetylcysteine, known as NAC, glutathione, a lot of our amino acids, minerals such as manganese, such as calcium, things like that, magnesium as well, and really make sure we're doing all the things necessary. Finally, we need to sweat, you know. Mm. Hot saunas are great. Working out's great. Movement is awesome. Maintaining hydration, sweating, getting good sleep, getting to take care of our bodies, that will improve the clearance, thereby reduce the burden. And everybody can do that. And everybody should do that. Because we're not going to get away from the ubiquitous nature of these things at present. This is no way. They're in the air we breathe. You know, the room that I'm in right now in my office here, it is more polluted than outside, you know, and I can't do anything about that because we don't work outside.
Right. You know?
But it is a problem. And I don't think that, I'll just kind of wrap up that statement with a bow, that, you know, God gave us a detox system, and he knew that we would be here today at this point in time having this discussion. So if God gave us a detox system, I don't believe he's going to allow anything in the world to overwhelm us, because that would be the world's overwhelming his creation, which that can't happen if you view things in that way. But we have to do our part, as I stated.
Absolutely. And So back to the sweating part too. So especially in the winter, you know, it's not as hot outside anymore. How many times a week would you recommend someone do a sauna, for instance, to try to have that as a system for releasing that sweat and toxins?
You know, the data is pretty clear on that. You work your way up, of course, but you start off with about 3 days a week at about 20 minutes, probably 130 degrees, something like that.
20 minutes. Wow. Okay.
And you want to work your way up. Sometimes you might get 10 minutes, you're just exhausted and stuff. Stay hydrated, of course. Prepare for that. But the saunas now have near infrared, medium infrared, far infrared. So we're getting good penetration deep inside the body to help the system kind of release those toxins. And you will sweat, which is good. You know, the pores open quite nicely to let stuff out. But starting off to get a goal of three times a week for 20 minutes is great. But it has been shown that even more is better, meaning you could do it pretty much on a daily basis and still get benefit from it. You pair that sometimes with cold plunge therapy, hot cold thing, because that can improve the inflammatory conditions of the toxins. So if you look at the whole process, sauna is outstanding. Yes, do that. Consider cold plunge therapy or a cold shower, you know, occasionally that's also good. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, maintain good hydration, as we spoke of, before you get in the sauna. Critically important.
Okay. So it's best, you know, if we're going to talk about being well-rounded, go in the sauna and then do the cold plunge after that.
Because what happens is a lot of people end up doing like the sauna at night, right? Yeah. And this is a great, great formula for some sort of sleep pre-bed hygiene. You know, you do a sauna for 20 or 30 minutes. This is kind of one of my wife and I's things we like to do. And then, you know, do that. And then you can jump in the cold shower and you can do that for maybe 5 minutes or less. You don't need to do it a bunch and it's fascinating because you'll see your heart rate. I check it on my little Garmin here. Mm-hmm. The heart rate tends to go down finally when I get settled into the heat. Fascinating. But when I get in the cold, it tends to go way up because my body's trying to elevate the temperature again in a unique way. And so I like that order because then after that, the body temperature's calm back down, it's cooled back down, and it promotes good sleep at that point.
Okay. And you said that if you do a sauna or sweat a lot, but without a cold shower or a cold plunge afterwards, there can be some inflammatory after effects of the sauna when you release these toxins.
Well, you're going to have some body heat going on. So you want to think about, you know, at least taking a towel and cooling off a little bit, wiping off a little bit, drying off a little bit. Yeah. And even if you can't take a cold shower, try to, you know, at least rinse with some water. Because think about this. If the toxins are coming out of your body, I don't want them sitting on my body.
Yeah.
I want them out of my body.
Yes, that's true. Well, that's cool. Those are good, really good tips and pieces of advice because, again, a lot of people might see these news articles coming in and think, well, this is hopeless because I interact with these microplastics every day. And it is kind of scary to think this is sort of the generation of where scientists are seeing all these new things in our bodies, in our brain, these foreign substances that just never were there before. We're like a big experiment. So how do we do the least harm then to our bodies, knowing that we can't just live in a vacuum? You know, we're going to have to interact with these things, these foreign substances, but how do we do the least harm? So that was really good advice.
That's the key thing right there. We're not going to get away from them all the way, but the awareness of them gives us a great opportunity, Deanna, that we can begin to change our own lifestyle. Make no mistake, the greatest infusion of pollution is through our mouth. It really, really is. And it always has been. And right behind that is typically through our ears, which gets into our mind, what we hear and maybe watch with our eyes. And so we've got to close those gates, have good border security, as we've talked about before, and really begin to make the changes, because I still believe our body is able to overcome the way it was made if we give it the opportunity and what it needs.
Amen. And as you always say, our biggest border crisis is our body border crisis.
Yeah, no
Thank
question.
You. Dr. Mark Sherwood, always great to have you on. Tell everybody, of course, where they can find you and follow you.
Well, they can go to Sherwood.tv/shots. And I want people to go there because there's a way they can connect with us there. They can use the shots code for percentage off of all kinds of stuff that we talk about on here and all kinds of stuff we haven't talked about on here. So it's good. And we're here to be a resource for people and really always grateful to be a part of your life and the show here in the community.
Amazing. All right, guys. Well, you heard the man. Check out his website, of course, at sherwood.tv/shots and use my promo code shots to get 30% off. All right, guys, we'll be right back right after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
Second thing we can do is drink water. I mean, you hear me talk about hydrogen water all the time with our little bottles.
Yes.
We have to have water to live. Our bodies are 65% water, just like the earth is. Go figure.
Right.
Wow. Does that not give you chills right there to think about?
Totally. Yeah.
When we drink that water, if we can bring hydrogen in there, it can reduce inflammation. It can reduce free radicals and it can bring calm and peace to the cells. So I don't know how better we can get than those two tips. And we need that more today. Dan, if we're stuck and just locked into what's next in the news, it's going to lock us in all right. It's like locking into a self-imposed prison.
100%. And you have an incredible water hydration device as well that we can talk about real quick. I know that you probably have it on your desk right now.
I drink this every day. This is, forgive me for sounding like an infomercial, but this is the truth, man.
Yeah.
It's on my desk, even before we came alive. I put water in here about 5 minutes ago, pushed the button, and this little chamber that's via electrolysis creates hydrogen in here. And I'll push the button one more time so people can see that. Really cool.
So cool.
You can see it. It puts little bubbles in there. Really neat like that. And when I'll turn it off and show you when I pull the lid off, you can hear a little pressure, and I just drink the water.
Yeah, you don't want to be just drinking tap water. I mean, you want to be not all water is created equal, right? I mean, of course, we want to be hydrating with lots and lots of water as one of your tips, but not all water is necessarily created equal.
No, get your water filtered. Reverse osmosis is my favorite. There's a lot of little portable filters one can do from a hardware store to put on your fountain and or on your pitchers in your house. Or you can get an indoor filter system, works pretty good. We have one, or you can buy filtered water too.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool thing about this is when I drink this, it reduces not just the inflammation and the free radicals, but it can make my cells respond in a younger manner. Cheers to being younger, older, I guess, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's really important to really, you got yours too. It's important to do the right things that are simple.
I'm
a big believer in the KISS principle, keep it simple, silly,
Yes.
And what we talked about is learning to redefine stress, understand the addiction of stress, getting outside, getting away from it all, and then filling your body with the water, which is life.
Alrighty, that's all the time we've got today. Thanks so much for joining Shots Fired. Remember, twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right after the Stu Peter Show. And in the meantime, follow us on social media, especially Gab, Telegram, Truth Social, and Getter, at Real Deanna Lorraine, and on X for all the latest and controversial posts, Deanna for Congress. Special shout out to my chat room. Thanks for always lighting it up on fire. We love you so much. Check out my sponsors via the links below in the Rumble description. They are the most patriotic companies that you could ever give your money to. And until next time, y'all have a great weekend. We love you. God bless you. And God bless America. See you next week.